Good morning. I've been instructed not to cover ground that y'all are very familiar with what we're doing, but I will share this one story. I was at the bank a couple of weeks ago to the drive-in in Arkansas. And the girl said, Brazil, that's a country in South Africa, isn't it?
What was your answer?
What are we teaching our young people? So I'm assuming that y'all are aware that Arkansas is one of the 50 states. I'm going to talk in very general terms about some of the multi-year effort that we've been involved in Arkansas, and it's been a multi-agency effort involved, both state and federal. Agencies have been involved in the best scientific minds that we have in Arkansas, and as well as other areas in the South that, or mid-America, I guess, have provided input, and the West Coast as well. And really the emphasis for a lot of this work began in the early 90s when we had a governor's task force, and the question was popped out, what kind of weapons do we have today? How many weapons have been restored, and how many have been impacted? And basically nobody could provide an answer. I mean, so, you know, the various agencies went back that had voluntary programs. The NRCS came back and said, well, we've restored 40,000 acres in Arkansas, and so we don't have a problem at all. And then someone, I think, from Fish and Wildlife said, yeah, but it's all flooded fields and open water wetlands. I mean, you're not restoring any forested wetlands, and that's what we're really losing. And basically, the governor's task force went away, but some of us did not, and we stayed on this idea of we need to provide a system, some way that we can start answering these questions. So we began to look at tools that we could develop. I think we're all familiar with the three levels of assessment methods that EPA has in their program guidance. But in Arkansas, now that y'all know where Arkansas is, this blue area here is the delta, it's the Mississippi River alluvial plain. This is where most of our impacts and losses have occurred through the history and development of the state. There are also impacts in these other areas, other ecoregions around the state, but initially we started our work over here in the delta and concentrated because primarily this is all rural agriculture here, and this is where we were experiencing most of the impacts. So we began to look at, okay, well, we got this new thing called GIS, and we had people, from the university that were lining up saying, well, we can do all kinds of neat things. If you want to know about A, well, we can tell you about B, and then you can infer about A. And sounds like a good idea. So we'll get the usual magic in the black box, and we'll try to figure out what that means. Work on developing this GIS, rule-based thing that most everybody is talking about. And we came up with some general guidance, and this is kind of the highlight. If you want to read the standard methodology, it's, 20 pages or something. But pretty much it says we use professional judgment along with some general rules of how we would establish criteria in this prioritization, I won't call it a model, but algorithm, if you will, or GIS protocol. And so when we did that, essentially we could take and we had with information on soils, vegetation, potential farm wetlands, hydrography, public lands, we could throw all this in the mix, and basically based on the rules that we established, the program will go through and essentially weigh and then begin to print out maps. Okay, so then what do you do with the maps? Well, what we started doing was producing these maps, looking at the maps, and as has been stated before, it's an iterative process where you basically look at the results, see if that makes any sense. And I don't know if calibration is the right word, because we're calibrating B, that we really want to know about A. But, you know, essentially we looked and began to see, to get the prioritization model, to begin to print out things that made sense to what we were seeing, actually seeing on the landscape. And this here is, I don't know if y'all can read this, but I just clicked a couple of maps out. But this would be like, for the whole planting area, this is potential farm wetlands. So we begin to, you know, establish, that's one of the layers that we have in the mix. Then we can look over here and we can actually get a wetland inventory, if you will, of what's out there now through floor interpretation from the imagery and going through the mix of comparing information on soils, vegetation, existing vegetation, hydrology. And essentially what the GIS would do would be weight based on the criteria that we would put in, which would be, does it have hybrid soils or not? Is it forested or not? What's its proximity to existing water? What's its proximity to existing clumps of existing forested wetlands? From that point, basically GIS would go in for each, you know, 30 meter pixel, would assign it a ranking from 0 to 10. And essentially with that tool then, we could go back in and if you want, you could change, you would get a map with the different rankings on there. And the idea originally was to use that in order to help the state set restoration or protection goals for on a watershed basis. So if we went into, say, a planting area that was within this whole ecoregion, and, you know, we had a governor's proclamation that said we want to restore 10,000 acres in the delta by a year, whatever, in 10 years, then we could begin to start looking at where were we seeing the most impacts, where did we have historically the greatest losses, and then basically if we just restored the level 10, ranking prioritization in that area, how many acres would that be? Where would it be at? So, as we started going through this, then the idea also came up that, well, we need to really determine what type of wetlands do we have. We need to classify all the wetlands in the state. So we went through a whole other iteration, which was the level 2 site-specific, the HGM, which I think Dan is going to talk to you a little bit more detail about later. And then all of a sudden, the big problem was, what do we do with all this information? We generated all this information, but who's using it? How do we get it out? And how do we get utility in it? So then we started another project, which was, we need to develop a delivery system. We've got these tools, we're producing maps, we're producing all these digital overlays, and we're making inferences, but how do we get this information? How are we going to develop a system by which we can look at stuff now and over the next 10 years track and begin to see what picture is this really painting for us? So we came up with this information management system, because basically we're chasing the technology as it progresses. So we come up with a website. The idea is, okay, we have a website that basically non-GIS people can go to and retrieve information and begin to pull up the same type of maps that before this time take the GIS people and they will say, we want to see this. Okay, they go back and work in the office, come back and produce a map and tell you a whole bunch of GIS, you know, speak, and you're going, just be quiet when you look at the map. So this way, take the GIS people away. Now they can just go to an internet site and actually, you know, look at the information. So let's take for an example here. This is hard to read, but this says access to status and trends. And so we want to go through that. Somebody's interested in, you know, what type of permit activity have we had in a certain area? What type of restoration are we having in a certain area? So let's just let's go through this a second, and let's select the geographic boundaries. So we'll say we want to look at planning areas, and let's just look at the Corps of Engineers and NRCS programs compared to repair, you know, impact and restoration. And let's just go here and we'll click on the Cache River volume view, which is this little sliver right here. And, okay, so we hit the button and we get, it shows us where it is, and okay, it says we've got 102 records under 404 action. And it looks like under Weapon Reserve, we've got 48 records. So then we get a nice table here, and then essentially we hit the map viewer and we begin to pull up a map of what's going on here. So, for instance, here we've got, here was an actual 404 permit. Of course, there are no personal information contained in the database. We don't know who this person is. We don't know any of that type of information. All we have is location, location, location. So we have 404 permit information here. Here we have the WRP enrollment here. And then down here, let's say, for example, here is an area that was level 10 from our prioritization routine. Well, this is, now we're getting to where we can actually provide information in the tool to someone, so if they can go here and pull this information up, and they can begin to make inferences, whether they're regulatory or not regulatory, whether they're coming from a federal standpoint, or if actually the state would be interested in taking a more proactive stand, then now all of a sudden we've got a tool that we can start painting a picture of what's going on at the location. So, and then, of course, you know, the latest bells and whistles, you can drill down to the color infrared and whatever other imagery to put in there. I think the thing that is unique about this is, and although after I've heard some of the other presentations today, I'm not so sure that we are the only ones that can do this, but I keep being told by the GIS people that there's no one else in the country that can deliver this type of image on the fly within a matter of seconds through an internet connection to just your common web browser. And so that really has been a jump in technology, is that instead of you having to download or get a disk or go to an FTP site to download a bunch of digital orthoquads, now you can just go hit this site just through your internet browser, and basically you have the power to start pulling and displaying and seeing imagery of whatever data that is housed on GeoStore, which is a whole other discussion. We won't go into that, but it's kind of a repository for hundreds of data pieces of data coverages and that are essentially are accessible through this site. So we have landscape information on there related to our prioritization, which is accessible. Now we're talking about what do we do with this HGM stuff. Well, that's a good question. That's what we're working on now, is how do we bring, if we've gone all the way from initial classification to developing a guidebook to go out and actually assess function, then how do we begin to use site assessment at select locations to actually pull that up to the landscape level? How do we put that into the mix? You know, I'm doing really well. I've got 5 minutes. I might be able to tell y'all some jokes. So, obviously, geomorphic setting is very important. So, I mean, what we're really about right now is further developing. We've got reams and reams of data.
It's clear with the arrows.
I do have one more slide. There we go. We have reams and reams of data, and a lot of this was discussed yesterday. What we're really working on now is how do we set the, if you will, the guidepost by which we take and ask questions about a lot of the stuff we were talking about yesterday afternoon when everyone was so restless, which is what do we really need to focus on? What are the priority pieces of information? And basically, how do we integrate that, have the computer do something, and if it's just a numerical value or a high, medium, low, or a threshold or something, that someone can begin to look at this and essentially start making some determinations on what is the relative importance of this particular piece of ground in relation to what's going on historically and in relation to other surrounding wetlands in the landscape. I'm done.